Right, good morning everyone.
Hey.
Yeah, welcome to Community Stand Up. We're doing it twice a week to engage with open source community, and today is our desktop series. So my name is Olya Gavrish. I'm PM on .NET team. I have Dmitry with me. Dmitry, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Dmitry Lyland and I'm also a PM, and I work on the tooling team for WPF and UWP XAML powered applications. So things like XAML Designer, XAML HUD Reload, XAML Code Editor, that's my team.
And today we have a guest from the community. It's Morten Nielsen. Morten, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm a Microsoft MVP. I don't work for Microsoft. I work for a company called Esri and work as a developer lead for RPO's runtime SDKs for building mapping apps for various platforms.
Great. Awesome. Thanks for joining us today. And so today we will talk about desktop. I keep repeating that this year is truly amazing for .NET desktop. Would you agree?
Definitely.
There's so many things happening in this area. And for example, if you were a desktop developer in the past, you had to choose between WinForms, WPF, or UWP, and you had to stick within the boundaries that those frameworks have to offer for your application. But if you think about it, WinForms, WPF, UWP, those are not actually platforms, right, for your application. The platform is Windows itself.
Yeah.
And why would you have to limit yourself to only what WinForms or WPF has to offer? So where we want to move as a Microsoft, we want to enable every desktop application to be able to use any feature from Windows. So yeah. Whether you're developing WinForms or WPF or UWP, you should be able to have easy access to any platform APIs, to any desktop APIs. And even more, if you're targeting Windows 10 version that supports XAML, that is, do you remember the number? It's
1903.
Yes, that's the first version that fully supports XAML. If you're targeting that version, you should be able to use any controls in your application from other frameworks as well. So for example, I have a WinForms app and I really like that UWP control. Say, what is your favorite UWP control?
The map control, I use it quite a bit.
Right. The map control. So I have WinForms app. I saw Dmitry has that amazing map control in his UWP application and I really want to use it. Well, now I can do it using technology called XAML Islands. So Dmitry, why don't you tell us more about XAML Islands?
Sure. So let's switch over to my computer here because I want to show a blog post that one of my colleagues, Miguel Ramos, and the Windows team did. This is to lay out the journey that we're taking to the V1, sort of the final version of the first release of XAML Islands. XAML Islands has been a long journey. We've been working in it for quite some time, and there's been a lot of questions, and Miguel has really been trying to go ahead and get those answers out there. So this is a blog post that we'll make sure it's easily discoverable. If you search for XAML Islands V1, you'll find it as well on the Windows blog. And I just want to highlight a couple of things from the blog, and there's so much in this blog post. It's a very rich post, so I suggest if XAML Islands are important to you, go read it in detail. But I just want to give you some highlights to kind of pay attention to. So in the blog here, we've got one very important statement that XAML Islands is for three kind of developers. It's for those building an application using native C++, WPF, or Windows Forms. These are the three type of developers that might want to put an island in their application, as the terminology calls for it, that enables you to use controls coming over from UWP. And
sorry, we have a question right there.
Please.
Does that also support all those fancy DirectX interrupt stuff?
It's a good question. DirectX is not my area of expertise, but you can find me on Twitter, lyland.com, and if you DM me a specific question, I will get you the answer. So if I don't know something, just find me over on Twitter. Glad to answer it.
Great. And there's another question. What is the current Microsoft story in terms of using Visual Studio to create managed and view reports for SSRC? Does VS 2019 fully support report development for SQL 2012-2019?
Yeah, good question, but I don't think we have anybody here that can answer it.
Pin us on Twitter and we'll find the right people. We got your answer. Okay, sorry.
So, no worries. So coming back to the blog post, a couple of key things. First of all, just understanding the kind of developers this technology is for, and to also point out that this blog post is a roadmap blog post because we're not done. We are releasing XAML Islands. It's a really complex technology under the hood, so we're releasing it in pieces. And right now, this blog post is indicating that V1 has an endpoint. We're not quite saying when that endpoint is, but it's going to be this year, and we're trying to make sure that everything comes together because we have to get the technology that's sort of in the Windows Community Toolkit that enables your application to make this work come together. We have to get Windows to come together, and we have to get Visual Studio support to make sure it's a good developer experience. So this is what this blog post is trying to say. We are on that journey. We do appreciate all those aspects of it. And we also want to say that we want to be clear which kind of applications this works for. So I will call out sort of what you need to get started with XAML Islands, because I've seen a bunch of folks have trouble getting started because they don't realize the limitations of, you know, which versions are needed, which versions
I was one of them, yep.
There you go, Olya is one of them. So you need to be running Windows 1903. You need to be referencing the 1903 SDK. Your application needs to be a packaged application. Mm-hmm. This notion of packaged and unpackaged in Windows, if you're not familiar with that notion, don't feel bad, trust me, it's a lot of complicated stuff to go through. Use this blog post to get you started, but if you know what I'm talking about, then understand the Windows application packaging project has to be used with your existing desktop app to make sure all the features work. There's just some things that rely on some of the metadata that they get to put in there.
Right. And sorry, there is a question. Will this be compatible with WinForms? It's already compatible with WinForms. There are NuGet packages for WinForms. And I think in a few moments, I will show you XAML Island in a WinForm application.
Yep. So, there it is. The blog post calls this out right here. It's a big blog post. It's a great question. So I just wanted to point out we are trying to make sure this information is clearly out there. But please keep your questions coming. So what else do you need to know? You need to be using Visual Studio 2019. The one thing I will call out about this blog is that it's pointing out to the fact that my team, I'm the Visual Studio team for this part of this kind of story. We're still not done with our work, but we are trying to get this work completed later this year and get sort of the best we can workflow for version 1.0 of XAML Islands. And there's certainly ambitions to go well beyond 1.0's capabilities, but this will be the beginning. So this blog post is full of meat. It covers, you know, what versions of .NET Core versus .NET Framework can you target. It talks about, you know, the various kind of applications you can have in there. It talks about C++ applications, .NET applications, things like, you know, modern web views, where the samples, everything is in this one post, so definitely go check it out. This is your one-stop shop for XAML Islands.
And do you understand right that some controls are already wrapped for WinForms and WPF, right?
Yes, and others you have to kind of self-host. There is the option to basically use any control that's in the Windows platform. But again, go look at the blog. There's a lot of details. Even when I speak about it, when I don't think through every detail, sometimes I still get confused. and we acknowledge this confusion sucks because the platform should be more flexible. This is a complex story. We're really doing our best. We acknowledge all the issues, and please keep us honest. Keep the feedback coming.
Yeah, feedback is very useful, right? So how about I'll show how I used XAML Island in my WinForms application.
Yeah, let's do it. WinForms, very, very popular topic.
Yeah, so I have a very simple app, and first thing that I did, I went and added a NuGet package. This is the NuGet package that allows me to use XAML Islands. It's called Microsoft Toolkit Forms UI Controls. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna add to my WinForms app an ability to sign to get the signature from a user. And for that, I'm gonna use an Ink Canvas UWP control. And that, I was lucky, that is a wrapped control. So it's available in the package Microsoft Toolkit Forms UI Controls. But if it wasn't, I would look for, let me search and show you what we have here. If I search for Microsoft Toolkit Forms, I get everything for WinForms. And there is a web view control in a separate package. There is UI controls. Those are wrapped controls for your WinForms application. And for all other UWP controls, you can use UI XAML host package. And then you kind of host the control in your app. Exactly same packages are available for WPF. Let's search. So Same, just instead of forms, WPF, and then UI XAML host, UI controls, and so on. So I added this package, and then next thing that I did, I added the limitation on the max min tested version, right? Mm-hmm. So the way I did it, I added app manifest to my application. I scrolled down to Windows 10. This line was commented, so I uncommented this line. And I added this line. So that's all you need to do to add to your application to make it work. If you don't do that, once you try to run your application and it gets to the code related to XAML Islands, it will throw exception. Ask me how I know that. I keep forgetting that all the time, and then I go ahead and edit. All right, so then let's take a look at the designer code, even though we're not supposed to do that for WinForms, but this is the how I use the control. So it's a same like any other WinForms control I created. I assign location name, size, tab index, add it to my form. Here, add it to my form, and then let's take a look how it works. And this is my .NET Core application, by the way, not a framework, but it works for framework as well. Experience is the same. Okay, so now this control, it's an ink canvas, it's UWP control inside my WinForms application. Is this awesome or what?
Very awesome.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the power of taking advantage of the platform. I mean, certainly there is the one limitation that the users have to be on the right version of Windows. And you know, we're definitely want to hear your feedback if it's blocking scenarios for you, but we hope that at least this gets you going with exploring the technology, and we are listening to people's feedback on how it's going to make their applications better, or if they're blocked for any reason, please do keep us honest. There also were a couple of questions in the chat. So there's one question around XAML standard. We're just not going to talk about it today again. We just don't have anybody that can represent that topic well. So sorry. Feel free to DM me any specific questions. Find me on Twitter. I will definitely try to get back to you. There's also a question around wrapping a Windows 10 installer for, you know, and making it available to Windows 7 users. At least that's how I'm seeing the question. So if you're talking about MSIX, the team, as far as I know, is working on Windows 7 support. In fact, I think there is already some support in there. I'm not an MSIX expert either. This field of technology is so broad. There's so many topics. But if you have particular scenarios that you're like, man, I'm blocked in this scenario, DM me. I'd love to hear about it. And therefore, I will go, you know, deep dive into the topic with you, find the specific answer, and take your feedback. Maybe it'll influence the team as well. So
right.
keep us honest.
There is another question. Can you maybe expand on the subject and talk about some of the unique challenges .NET Core 3 support to UWP apps? I mentioned moving from .NET Native to different IoT solution is difficult, right?
Yeah, so we right now are, you know, like in today's live stream, we're not talking about UWP changing its runtime from .NET Native. Certainly there have been some talk about this topic, but that's, you know, that's not in scope for today's conversation. We will gladly talk about things when we're ready. If we're ready, the future is exciting, but for now, that's just not in scope today.
Yeah. Someone is talking that Emo Landverse recently said the current UWP is fragile. Let's let Emo Landvers talk to that.
You can find Emo on Twitter at...
you don't need to find him. I mean, he is there.
Everywhere.
All at once. All right. So I think that was XAML Islands. Very nice tech. I really liked it. And another great thing that has already happened, and you guys probably heard a lot about it, that we open sourced all the WinForms, WPF code, we're moving it to .NET Core 3. Yeah, that Morten is very happy about that. And there are actually people who are already trying to port their existing WinForms or WPF applications from .NET Framework to .NET Core. And Morten Nielsen is one of those people. So how about, Morten, I put you on the screen, and you can tell us, could you first tell us about your application, like what it is, the one that you ported to Core?
Sure. Well, it's actually not so much an application as it's a developer SDK for other people to build applications.
Nice.
So we want to be able to allow other developers to use .NET Core when you ship it for version 3. And so we build this basic set of controls and APIs that allows you to build more advanced mapping applications in GIS. And so we support WPF, we support UWP, mm-hmm. support mm-hmm. the Xamarin and so on. So it's sort of natural for us to start looking at .NET Core. And we're quite excited about having it open source, and we can like, step into it. We can maybe fix some issues that are causing problems for us that's been hard to do. So the moment that was announced, I was up in arms. I'm very happy about it going open source and moving to .NET Core. So we early on started running the portability analyzer on mm-hmm. our API.
To get a feel for what
kind of issues are we going to have. And luckily, because we already cross-compiled with so many platforms, there was only a few things where we do very platform-specific things for .NET framework that was being called out as something that was missing. For instance, the way we used HTTP, we used an extra subclass of the HTTP handler that was not available in .NET Core. But mm-hmm. luckily for the other platforms, we weren't using that, and it was literally just switching over to use that. And then we're using some GPS APIs, the system device APIs, and mm-hmm. those are not available.
Right.
But the moment we got the first early previews of WPF on .NET Core, I was on it. And to be honest, I was sort of surprised that after 10 minutes of working on it, I actually had it compiling.
Wow. Really?
That's awesome.
So it took you 10 minutes to port your app. That is pretty amazing.
I cheated a little bit. I removed all the location APIs, just took it out. It's like, that's right. missing. I can't do that right now. Let me just get it running. And I was sort of surprised how well it went.
Wow.
So that was a great start. Those were one of the libraries. There was, of course, more to do. I had to put mm-hmm. on unit tests and all that stuff. But it was a good indicator that it was doable. Found a couple of issues reported, but really nothing major. Right. Actually, fairly smooth. So we've continually testing. We noticed some of these bugs are being have been addressed since.
Right.
And so I actually started looking through our code. Where do we do stuff for .NET Framework where it's sort of like a little iffy or mm-hmm. like an issue we found we worked around, and see like, well, is something that's been improved in .NET Core, or maybe we can just submit a PR and get it fixed so we don't have to have that.
Yeah.
I actually have an example of that. Yeah. I don't know if you want to see it.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So, and this has actually been sort of a known issue for a while.
Thank you so much for doing our job.
You're welcome. So I had this funky code in here that said mm-hmm. there is a workaround for a NullRefence exception. And what actually happens in the code is that if you try to connect to an HTTPS source in Media Player, mm-hmm. it will throw a NullRefence exception.
I see.
So we kind of wrote this ugly hacker, like, if that happens to throw, let's just try the non-secure one and hope it works. It's sort of an mm-hmm. ugly workaround for show, and this would throw if it's not in a ClickOnce deployment, which usually is the case. And so it was really a matter of we could go and look at the reference source and kind of get an idea right. that it was probably throwing somewhere around here, because if this method above
right.
returns null, then this would null ref, and that would not be good.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I logged an issue on the PR. You can see it's closed, by the way, where I pointed out the issue and said, why don't I just fix it? So I basically made a PR and found the same code in the core. So it was literally just adding a little null check here mm-hmm. and then try it out. And so basically take the source code, compile it, test that it works, and submit a PR, which is great.
However, by the way, thank you so much for submitting PRs, for reporting bugs, because that's how we know what we need to work on or what features are important. And of course, thank you for doing our job and helping us to develop the product.
Because I understand sometimes some of these issues are maybe minor in the grand scheme of things, but for me it's a big deal, so I'll take the time. But it's actually easier for me to make this fix than have all these workarounds. I could have back then, I could just have stepped right into the code, made a stickler fix, try it out locally, and actually confirm it works and submit a PR. So that's going to be huge for us in the future. However, a couple of days ago, another big PR got merged that did a bunch of cleanup, and actually all this code is gone now. So my PR is actually not relevant anymore because they actually cleaned all of this ClickOnce code out. So I can actually confirm now that this problem is gone. So I can actually go and just say if it's if we just leave this for .NET Framework for now, we can comment out, and then we're good to go. We don't have to have this workaround for .NET Core anymore, which is awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
So I'm going to save that because we're going to have that running. But this is, for me, this is huge. I have another thing I'm starting to work on that is a really complex binding issue we haven't ever been able to figure out why that binding is not triggering. Mm-hmm. But being able to go in and actually instrument WPF, go in and add some specific locking to better understand why it's not making it where it should be making it, mm-hmm. Is going to be huge and really help us be able to better debug some of these issues. Right. That is most likely our bug, but that will help us better understand what's going on in the internals. And if it turns out to be a WPF core, we'll just submit the fix. It's much, much easier for us to have it in the platform instead of making these kind of workarounds that might or might not actually work.
Yeah, I think so one of the biggest things that the community should kind of hear from all of this is that we are taking your fixes, like we are taking that, but I know not everybody's going to have the time, energy, or skill set sometimes to fix an issue.
Right.
So folks should not feel like that's the boundary they have to jump over, that they have to submit the fix. Submit the issue. Like, let us know it's broken, and we will try to fix it, or somebody else might pick it up. That's a beautiful
thing. Complain.
Yes.
And then either we fix it, or there are other folks in the community who would be happy to pick it up and fix it for you.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Yeah.
So to begin with, we have a bunch of samples on top of this. So I actually took our big sample app last night, and this one took me a little longer. It took me about half an hour because we have a bunch of different compilation settings for all sorts of different files, and it took me a while getting it right. Mm-hmm. But the project file is pretty much it. It's not that big when I was finally done. And so here's actually our entire sample app running on .NET Core, which is really awesome.
Wow.
Look at this. We have all
very cool.
And it has also sort of like descriptions with markdown rendering. It has like all the syntax highlighting for all the samples.
Very cool.
So you can really start using all these different things. So I was sort of surprised how easy this one, because this is a fairly complex app, but it was not too bad to actually do.
Do you see this graphic?
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's
awesome. I know Dimitri said that his favorite map control is UWP1. You check this one out.
Okay.
So I've worked with a bunch of map controls over my developer lifetime, and unfortunately I can't talk about all of that. But customers and all, confidential stuff. But I think that map controls in general are pretty awesome. You can do some amazing things, and I know your company does some really good work. So kudos to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Great job.
So we talked to a lot of customers about this that we want to support this, and I mean there's lots of benefit with .NET Core, all the new language features, the better performance and stuff like that. But I think the one that really resonates with everyone is this ability to be able to, as a developer, pretty much pick the .NET version I want to use,
right.
And not worry about whether the user has .NET 4.6.1 or 4.8 or whatever version installed. And that allows me as a developer to pick, I want to use C# 8 and all the language features, but I can't do that because the user might be on an old version. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I can deploy .NET with the app, or I have it side by side installed, and that gives me the flexibility. And that really resonates with a lot of people, I think.
Perfect.
Because it kind of gives us the power back to the developers to kind of choose the platform we want to build on, rather than being limited by what the user is actually running.
Right, and that is a feedback I'm also getting, like side-by-side is one of the top features of .NET Core that people mention when they decide to port their applications to .NET Core.
Yeah, and we have a question on chat. The question is to you, Morten, is the stuff you're showing somewhere on GitHub, people can take a look? Is it open source?
In fact, it is on GitHub.
Awesome.
Actually, I even put I have a PR here. So this is the actual, our sample repo, s3/runtime-samples.net, where you can download the sample. The store app is actually in the store, too. You can get it from the store. But here's there's some solution, and here's the project file, and that is literally everything I did.
Okay, so we don't see you sharing your screen at the moment.
Oh,
so
sorry.
No worries. So it's in the ESRI. What is the repo name? I can put the link in the chat for folks.
It is s3/, it's kind of long. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, awesome.
Perfect, thank you.
you probably see my screen now, but here's actually the project file settings. That is the only thing I changed, apart from an extra solution. I should say though that I'm currently using an internal build-up that's specific to add.NET Core support because it's not shipped yet. But you can get the whole sample app online, and it has samples for all platforms here, for Xamarin and Android, UWP and WPF as well. And you can get it in the store, as I mentioned.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you so much, Martin. And anything, any suggestions for people who are thinking about porting their applications from the experience one?
Yeah, I would say, just going through the last night, trying to update the sample app, it really helps understanding the SDK project file, how the project file is built and how to include files and store include them. So try some simple apps first and just try and get them moved from .NET Framework and kind of get the feel for how that actually works.
Right.
And I think that really sets you up good to do a more advanced project that has a lot more in it, to really understand how you can set certain properties and what's default included and so on.
Right.
So just a few trial runs with some simple apps is a really good experience to get started.
Right.
Yeah. Also, if you work at a very large company and you have a very large project with lots of complexity, but you're really looking at .NET Core, reach out to us. We might be able to help. We might be able to answer some questions, or maybe even more, depending on the situation. So don't feel that you're blocked because you know something is hard. Feel free to engage with us. Yeah. We really want to see our customers move to .NET Core
Definitely.
For their desktop applications.
Yeah, and feel free to reach out with any questions. You can find us on Twitter. There is a alias that we will publish where you can send your questions about porting to .NET Core and submit issues in the repositories.
Definitely.
That really helps us to produce the product for you. All right. Thank you so much, Morten. That was very interesting to listen to your story. Thanks for joining us today.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so that was the porting story to .NET Core. And just to sum up, we ported, as for WinForms, all the runtime code is already there on the GitHub repository, github.net/WinForms. And for WPF, what do you say? Like, are you half done with the runtime?
So the runtime situation, I haven't checked it in a while, but I'm sure it's about the same progress as WinForms. The biggest place we're still working on is the designer support. So
same for
like you guys. And I think you have something to show on that today.
Yes. Actually, I wanted to talk briefly about designer effort because that's what WinForms is working on right now. Like all the people from WinForms team is working on the designer day and night.
We have like 60% of our team working on it. So it's quite a busy time.
Yes. And for us, it's a very big effort because we had to redesign how the surface process would run out of process and talk to. So for .NET Core application, the design surface has to be a .NET Core process that has to talk to Visual Studio framework process. And that's a completely different way from how it used to work before for framework applications. That's why we need a lot of time and effort to actually make the designer work for .NET Core projects. So let me show you what we have so far. And I realize it's not a super exciting demo because I'm going to show you WinForms designer that you have used for many years already, and this designer would be somehow cut and limited. But keep in mind, amazing thing about it is that this runs in .NET Core out of process. It supports a .NET Core application. So I just installed the new designer that my dev team shared with me. It's very
You're
new.
You're very brave.
I am. I know. We basically put it together yesterday, so anything can happen. And I'm going to create a new WinForms app targeting .NET Core, and it will automatically use the new .NET Core designer. Let's see. All right. So first thing, and right now, if you create WinForms applications targeting .NET Core in Visual Studio, you won't be able to see the designer. Once you click on the form, you just have an error.
Yeah. But there's a workaround, right? So there's something you can do.
You're absolutely right. Yes. So there are ways how you can still port your application to .NET Core and keep using the traditional framework designers. And there are fewer options. We blogged about it on our blog posts, on all the papers of how you can migrate your application to .NET Core. But basically, you either have two projects and link the content. One project is targeting .NET Core, another targets .NET Framework, and you link the content from .NET Framework to .NET Core. So you have only one set of files, but two projects. Once you need to use the designer, you go ahead and you work with the framework project. Another option is to have two project files side by side. And in one project file, you target .NET Framework. In the other, you target .NET Core. And again, it's workarounds, so it's kind of hacks. They would not work perfectly. It's not the experience we want to provide to you. We are working on the designer. The first preview version is coming out in September, and it's going to be a preview version. It's not going to be fully working, but we're working on it. So let's go back to my screen and see. Here is a
And icon. I'm putting some links into chat for folks from your blog post on the subject.
Perfect. So thank you so much. Well. That's what I should have done. So we can see icon next to my form one, which already means there's a designer. You just saw the window. It's a new process started, and we see the form. And this form is the .NET Core designer form.
Awesome.
So what we can do already, we can add some controls. We will adjust the size of the controls because right now they come out too small. But, and also the naming can be improved. But we can add them to the form. We can drag them. We can resize them. Another thing that we can do, we can change properties in the property grid. What is your favorite color, Dimitri?
Let's go with something bright. Something reddish.
Red.
There you go.
Here you go.
So sorry for folks, and we know that our live, our video windows are sort of blocking the bottom right corner of the screen. But I can assure you there was a properties pane there.
All right. I think I can remove it. Wait, one, no.
Oh, here there you go.
Woo! Okay. Yes. Okay. I'll do more adjustments just for that.
Let's more unplanned adjustments. What can go wrong? So there's a question in the chat about the WPF designer. I will talk about it a lot more after Olya's done with the WinForm part of this talk. But I can tell you that the preview designer is already in 16.2 preview 1 or greater. So it's already there. It's not by any means done, but it's there.
It's there. Yeah, it's coming. Okay, I decided to create a simple application. Now let's add, what else should we add? How about we add a chat so toolbox is working. And so for the first preview version, we are gonna support common controls, and we'll see how much we will get done. For all the rest controls, they will not be in the toolbox. So if the control is not supported, it's not in the toolbox, but eventually we will bring it to functional parity with .NET Framework. So you will get exactly the same designer. Don't think that only common controls, that's what you're gonna have in WinForms from now on, right? Okay, and let me just run it, make sure that also works. Perfect. I didn't add any code, so it does nothing. You can enjoy my amazing design skills. But that is a WinForms designer running on .NET Core for .NET Core projects. Okay. Perfect. And how are things going with WPF designer?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's switch over to my machine, and I will point out that in the release notes, which I think I very poorly linked in the chat there, sorry. But basically, if you go to the release notes of Visual Studio, you will find that we are already talking about the XAML designer for .NET Core 3 WPF applications as well. This, you know, says it all, so I won't read it, but I will just say the general theme is we are still working on the designer, and we will continue working until it's done. The biggest thing that I want to be transparent, the whole point of these sort of conversations is for us to have a very transparent conversation. Again, feel free to follow up if you have specific questions or concerns based on what I say on Twitter with me. But we want to acknowledge the different kind of designers that we have for XAML developers building for desktop. So we today, right away, like forget .NET Core, today we have two of them. We have one for WPF developers, and we have a different code base running for UWP developers. And that's just the reality of, you know, the complexities of the different platforms. One is .NET Framework, one is .NET Native, and then if you get into the architecture of things, Visual Studio is built in a certain way. So you combine all those factors together and you wind up having to need two code bases. And when we had .NET Core 3 join the party for WPF applications, we had to figure out how to make that work with .NET Core as well. And the easiest thing, the path that was going to be make us successful in a reasonable amount of time, in a time frame that allows us to work on other things as well that the community wants or needs, that became the UWP designer. We're basically making the UWP designer and its set of features available as the designer for the developers in the whole .NET Core WPF space. So what does that mean, just practically speaking? If you open side by side a WPF.NET Framework application and a WPF.NET Core application, when our designer is done, when I tell you in our release notes or in some live stream, yay, we're done, you're going to see some differences.
Okay.
But if you open the UWP app and the WPF.NET Core app and you start using the designer in both, you're going to feel like they're kind of the same because they are. Oh. So that's going to be where we're
heading. That's awesome. Yeah.
So just wanted to be transparent there. And if you want to know some details, maybe one day we'll talk about it. Let me know if that sort of thing is interesting.
Yeah, certainly. And in future, let us know what you would want us to talk about, because we can adjust our content to be most useful for you. So please, feedback is very welcome. There is one question you probably already answered, but I just wanted to emphasize that. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on preview version for WPF Designer in September as well?
Yes. So, I mean, it's in there
already.
Preview
is already there, right?
So, if you're using 16.1, you have it. And if you're on our sort of, our sort of fast, what do we call it, preview channel, if you're getting the previews as they come out to Visual Studio, we're releasing in pieces as we're making the designer more and more complete as it relates to parity with UWP. And at some point, we'll just announce that we've reached parity, quality, accessibility. There's so many things that go into making this kind of a great product that I know that from the community standpoint, you're like, eh, we get it, go get it done. We are definitely trying to get it done. And of course, we do recognize that .NET Core is at some point going to go GA, and we certainly would like to align with that.
In September. Yes.
So we hope to. But until we're ready, I don't want to.
But the preview of WPF Designer is already
it's
there.
It's already in there. Fact,
I played
it
with it. It's way further than WinForms.
Yeah. Yes. So here's an application that I filed, new project. It's nothing fancy. It's an application that is a .NET Core 3 application. You can
Yay.
See it right there.
Yes.
And if you go and you click on mainview.xaml, you get a designer.
Go.
And if you drag a button, you get a button. Is it perfect? No. should you file bugs against this? You
yes.
could. Definitely. I would say, you know, we are aware already of some of the issues, but we'll just triage the bugs. Basically, I will and my team. So we'll figure out what it is. But take a look here. Make sure it's working for you. If something isn't working for you, please let us know. But the designer is in there.
Perfect. And we have a feedback. More useful defaults when using the WPF Designer would be a welcome addition for newcomers and experts. Talking about merging and transform being automatically generated. So that is a feedback for you.
Yeah, that's a great feedback. I would actually love to hear deeper, you know, have a deeper conversation with you on the details of this. So if you want to reach out to me, if you're comfortable with that, you can do so over email. My email is basically my first name dot last name at microsoft.com. So dimitri.lyland@microsoft.com. I'm right there in chat with you folks, so you can see my name, or you can reach me on Twitter. My DMs are wide open, so you can DM me with all your details. You don't have to.
Yeah, we would really appreciate feedback like that. Yeah. Really helps us. So thank you so much.
Yes, I have like once a week an interesting conversation with somebody reaching out to me because of an issue or some idea or something that maybe they thought wasn't available, but it turns out it is. So please keep it coming. I'd love to engage with you.
Right. And there was, while we are on WinForms control, even though we're not anymore, but was the bug with the string collection editor ever fixed? String collection If you could point me to that bug, I will make sure I have updated status on it. And I wonder, is that the bug for .NET Core or was it a framework issue? I'm not sure, but I'll follow up on that. Thank you. Okay.
Awesome.
Output 3.0 will output exe by default. Will it output binary executable for Unix-like platforms?
So is this a question of cross-platform support for WinForms or WPF? Because if it is, you know, we don't have that in our plans at this point. We're not planning to make these frameworks. Like .NET Core runs cross-platform, and I know, you know, just honestly, if I was a customer, I'd also be confused. Like if .NET Core is cross-platform and .NET Core is coming to WinForms and WPF, shouldn't they just be cross-platform? Yeah. But they're not written in that way. Just go look at the WPF source code if you want to. If you don't believe me, it's definitely written for Windows. There's a large amount of dependencies. And at this point, we just have nothing to talk about cross-platform except for Xamarin, which is our way to reach iOS and Android.
Right.
And we definitely encourage folks to take a look at Xamarin. There's nobody from Xamarin team right here at the table. But we would love to engage if there's some scenario that technology helps you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
So for the next thing that I wanted to talk about from my side of the world for WPF and UWP developers, I want to talk to you about a feature that I just like to advertise. Can I just plug advertisement into the show?
Yes, yay. Totally.
Advertisement.
I mean, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, of course. Later. We'll take care of that. No worries. Mort's getting a cut, 10%. He's still on the call. So he's like, yeah, definitely keep the money coming. All right. So let's talk about another feature of our tools for developers experience. And this is, I'm going to open up Visual Studio because the best way sometimes is just to show it. This is a set of features that come together and are really kind of the best described through the brand name that we're trying to, you know, the name we're trying to associate with it, which is Hot Reload. Hot Reload capability is popular in the community with all sorts of other frameworks. And we've had it for a while inside of Visual Studio for UWP and WPF developers. We are actively working in this technology, so I like to talk about it and show it. In fact, right here, I'm running some preview bits, which are exploring advertising Hot Reload to customers in a much more verbose way. Right now, if you have sort of the mainline release, not the private bits, all you're gonna see when you run a WPF or UWP app is this little toolbar up here. This is what we call the in-app toolbar. And we're adding some more advertising to it. It's a bit early to talk about that, so I'll bring it up probably in the next chat as well. But for now, just be aware we are looking to improve this. But let's talk about how it works today because it's really a really cool feature. So if you're building an application, at some point you're gonna hit F5. At some point you're gonna run. At some point your application is gonna only feel good and feel complete when the data is loaded. This is a perfect example. This application without data is pretty empty. But the moment you have data and you start clicking around, you start getting quite a bit of packages. This is just a little open source app that one of my previous colleagues built. We've demoed it before. The app itself is not important, but the technology that is enabling Hot Reload is something that is often overlooked, and that's all our fault. The community has not been really, really told and explained this technology is here. Being very transparent, we didn't have that great documentation, so I'm working to fix the documentation story. I'm working to make it more discoverable because it already is pretty awesome. So let me show you why it's pretty awesome. So let's talk about the different features that make it all come together fully. The first feature is this selector right here. This is similar to Chrome Tools. If you say enable selection, you can start clicking around and actually selecting code, basically looking for XAML in your application. So there's this thing called the Live Visual Tree, which you can have open in your app. This works much better in two monitors, but we'll make it work somehow for the demo. So as you go around, you mm-hmm. can go ahead. Actually, let me do this. I'm going to go home. This is kind of the easiest just for demo's sake. So you can say MSAX catalog. Where does MSAX catalog live in my now very large application? It has lots of XAML, has lots of pages, lots of views, lots of styles. And I want to make a change to MSAX catalog. Something like I'm running the app. Let's say this was affected by data. Now I don't think MSX catalog is the right thing to show. Do I have to stop my application to make this change? If you're a WPF or UWP developer, and as long as you hit F5, as long as you see this in-app toolbar and you hit F5, you're good to do Hot Reload. You don't have to make that change. So I'm going to do this again from the start. I'm going to hit enable selection. I'm going to click on this. This made the live visual tree another cool feature that works even by itself without the selector that's showing you your runtime's app hierarchy of all the controls that are nested. But there's these little buttons right here that say view the XAML. So I'm going to click on that. And now I'm actually going to be taken to where the XAML is. Now here's the magic. Unfortunately, hard to show. I'll somehow try to jerry-rig it.
Magic is always hard to show.
Oh, magic. I love magic, though. It's my favorite. So I'm going to go in here. Oh, this is awful. But yeah, I want you to see it in real time. I want to prove that it's real time. I want to prove that this is real time. Do you see how...
If you want, you can
right
zoom
here,
out.
I think this should be good enough. But basically, hello, stream. This is appearing real time in the
awesome.
Application. So you can change... XAML. There are some limitations, but for the most part, when I'm building some prototype or working on some open source samples, I use this all the time myself. It's a really powerful feature.
Super
you
cool. You don't
XAML.
Need to stop, run it again, right?
Yes. You can remove the text block altogether. You can put the text block
perfect.
Back. It's powerful. You know, the biggest limitations today are if you need to like mess with the file system. So if you need to add a new control, that Visual Studio will block you from adding a new control.
Right.
You got to stop at the control. But once your XAML's in the new control and you run it, you can edit the XAML at runtime. You can change binding at runtime. Very, very powerful feature. And
very nice.
It even gives you live preview of properties for the particular control. So let's say you're thinking like at runtime, what properties does this stack panel have? If you click this little button right here, show properties, it opens up another window called the Live Property Explorer. So the way that I kind of like to think about this particular tool set is you have the in-app toolbar that enables you to select a particular control that allows you to then use the Live Visual Tree to find where it is in the hierarchy of your actual running application, and then lets you find the code behind it. Then Hot Reload allows you to change the XAML to change your real-time running app, and the Live Property Explorer lets you explore the properties with a search, you know, the search grid in here, and you can see the runtime and the XAML set properties of your application. It's quite powerful, and we really hope folks, you know, love this, use it, or tell us why it doesn't work for them, or give us feedback, or tell us if something's broken. This is really the thing that we would love to get your feedback on. And in the future, you'll see a lot of improvements. We're looking to make certain things work for the WPF that don't work today when you change certain XAML. We're looking to improve for the EWP developers how good that selector of XAML is in your runtime app. There's all sorts of things that we're exploring. Hopefully by next community stand-up, I'll have a lot more to talk about in this topic.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you very much, Dmitry. And I think Dot Morton already answering our questions. So not only he's fixing our code, he's also answering our questions. I really like this person.
Yeah.
Well, you told me I was getting 10%, so I figured I would work for it.
Oh, that's how it works.
Yeah. And if you don't have, see, if some reason is blocking your URL, I think because I'm an admin on the channel, so I'm able to talk there or some silly reason. But
okay.
If you put the repo without the URL, I can put the URL into the chat.
Oh.
Yeah, it blocked it. Okay, there is another feedback on Hot Reload. I'd really love for the Hot Reload to be expanded. Often when I modify styles with triggers and templates, it will break. So having that work would be awesome.
Yeah,
don't you think having that work would be awesome?
I would love to hear specifics on what's breaking. Yeah, you tell me what's breaking and I can go
file
and get
issues.
It fixed because it's literally my team. So it's,
yes.
You know, sometimes they talk about things like XAML Islands, which, you know, is a mini cross-team effort, or .NET Core, like there's so many teams involved. But when it comes to Hot Reload isn't working or the designer isn't working, you tell me, you're talking to the team. So we'll
right.
get it fixed.
So if you go ahead and create an issue on the repo, there is no way they can get away without it. Then they have to do it. Oh,
someone's making us sad in chat, but
yes.
That's okay. We're grown
that's
ups.
Okay.
We can handle it.
Yes.
We're really sorry. Whatever Microsoft did
yes.
to upset you in the past, whatever we can say to apologize for that.
Yeah. And again, help us make it better. Tell us what you need us to work on. We'll be happy to provide the experience you want. We'll reach out to you on Twitter. Perfect. Reach out to us on Twitter,
awesome.
By all means. Yes. Okay, if we don't have any more questions, I think that would be the agenda for today. right?
Yeah, so Oli and I are plotting to make this better and better. With every live stream, every month we get out here, we're gonna hopefully talk more, bring more guests, and have an even better agenda. I definitely want to talk more roadmap whenever possible. I'm exploring some possibilities of doing some of our speccing in open source. That could be an interesting way to engage with the community.
Totally.
So definitely, you know, keep follow us on Twitter. Let us know that you like this live stream. That encourages our management to let us do it more often. And keep the feedback coming. Your feedback on bugs is what makes all this so much better for everybody. We really
appreciate it. What helps us to prioritize our work, to understand what exactly you need, how we can make it better, how we can not suck. Right?
Yes.
All right. And yes, let us know what you want to hear in those community stand-ups. Because if there is something that is curious, but it was a while ago, so we don't talk about it, by all means, bring it up and we'll do that.
All right.
Yes. Off topic. Do the streamers get the ad money?
Microsoft or we do not get the ad money. This is
an interesting business model. You think I can bring some, I don't know, coffee, chocolate, and
I think we need our bosses to pay for this.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure having Dot Morton. Oh, Dot Morton is his handle on Twitter and GitHub. In a normal life, he's called Morton Nielsen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, everyone, and see you next time.
Hello, we did it. Woohoo! Yay! Let's do it. See you next time. Bye,
bye.
Thank you for being here.
Bye.